Okay, imagine the scene. A band of giant, mutant, monster-sized ticks have infiltrated a small Northwoods, Wisconsin tourist town. And two reporters at the fledgling local newspaper have to get to the bottom of the carnage. That's the setup of a debut horror novel from Fond du Lac native Christopher Miklos. He's a filmmaker, writer, and self-proclaimed lifelong horror junkie. His novel is called Tick Town. He talked to Kate Archer Kent about his pulp horror adventure.
This book is about a giant creature, or creatures, in northern Wisconsin. Why ticks?
Well, that's a great question. I'd set out to write something in the creature feature genre for my first novel, and I was very much inspired by a late 70s pulp horror paperback called Night of the Crabs, about giant crabs run amok in the Welsh countryside. But crabs had been done so often, and spiders had been done for so often, and scorpions and all that. I wanted to do something that was more relevant to Wisconsin. And what's more relevant to Wisconsin than ticks?
Ticks are scary.
Ticks are gross. They're disgusting. They're pretty horrendous creatures, and they're actually... They're responsible for a lot of disease and death, and they're one of the biggest killers in the state, actually. So I thought it was a good subject that would be very ripe for horror.
Ripe for horror, because what makes them scary is that they are so small and can go undetected for so long. I mean, what are the added horrors of you, like, scaling them up to be much, much bigger than humans?
Well, if you actually ever look at a tick close up, and I looked at a lot of images of ticks close up, they're pretty horrendously frightening creatures. With their mouth parts are jagged and choppy, and they, you know, have got the long sucker that comes out and stabs into you, and the way they eat, it's all pretty grotesque. So yeah, I agree with you completely that they're pretty horrifying at the tiny level. But I think if I ever saw one that was the size of an ottoman, or the bigger queen tick that shows up later in the book, I would be pretty horrified, I think.
Take us to Tomahawk Hollow, and they're about to have this big Jubilee festival showing off the town. What is this little town like?
Well, I think it's a town that we would very much recognize here in Wisconsin, in rural Wisconsin. It's, you know, everyone knows everyone's name. There are very few surprises. A lot of the town is built on, you know, it's nestled in the woods, and it's built on tourist trade. And every year they have the Harvest Moon Jubilee that they depend on for their economic survival. They've got a small town mayor who's, you know, not that you find corrupt mayors in Wisconsin, but, you know, there's definitely some jaws in the DNA of Tick Town. And so, you know, I want a corrupt mayor who is just a little bit shady, but also kind of a goofy, you know, Midwestern character. And so there's a lot, I found as I've been talking to people around the country, and actually in England about the book, that, you know, this town is not unfamiliar to anyone in the country, but I thought it was pretty indicative of what you might find when you're driving around in northern Wisconsin.
You're a filmmaker, you're a podcaster, now novelist. What inspired you to write Tick Town as a book rather than a screenplay?
Well, I wanted to set out and write a novel. I'd never written a novel before, and I was very excited about trying to tackle the form. And in the last, say, 4 years, I've gotten really interested in pulp horror and the old paperbacks of the 70s and 80s. And so I was really focused on doing a novel, and I've thought about adapting it to a script. A lot of the scripts I've written, I've produced myself, or some of the scripts I produced myself, some I haven't. But this would be outside my budget range to try and produce on a low budget. Giant marauding ticks probably would cost more than we usually spend on our movies. So it seemed like, but I was so excited when I found that, boy, when you write a novel, you don't have to worry about the budget, and you don't have to worry about the effects and all that kind of stuff that I worry about when I sit down and write a screenplay. And so it was a very liberating experience to be able to, you know, basically anything that came to my imagination I could write, and it ended up being a lot of fun.
We're talking with filmmaker and writer Chris Miklos about his debut novel. It's called Tick Town. It's a throwback horror story about giant ticks invading a northern Wisconsin community. The book, as we talked about, is set in this fictional Tomahawk Hollow. And one of, I think my favorite character is Emmeline Blacktear, the upstart young cub reporter who really follows her gut, isn't willing to hold back. She speaks out. Can you give us a little bit of a introduction to some of the main cast of characters that, that you created here?
Sure. Well, Emmeline is terrific. She's a lot of fun, and she kind of represents the kind of the fresh, not cynical member of the cast of Tick Town. And then her boss, Jackson Reed, who owns a small town newspaper that's going under. And early on, I had kind of envisioned, you know, some sort of metaphor for kind of the gobbling up of local media by, you know, big mutant corporations. And there still may be a little of that in there, but he's more cynical. He's trying to, you know, trying to keep his paper alive, trying to keep a tradition alive. And then you mentioned the mayor, Silas Cankerby, who is kind of he's a hybrid of Mayor Vaughn from Jaws and Boss Hogg from the old Dukes of Hazzard show is how I like to think of him. And then there's a couple of cardboard cutouts. You know, these books from the 70s and 80s always had like these mysterious villains, and they were often Nazis. So I made a vaguely Nazi character who kind of comes into the community and is tied to the group that's responsible for the ticks. And I just, you know, I was just writing and kind of going gonzo with my ideas and with my approach to it. And so I kind of took an anything goes sort of thing and tried to throw in as many ingredients into the stew as I could. And I really liked how it tasted when it was all done.
One thing we picked up on is you have local journalists who are struggling to keep the small local newspaper afloat. And you make mention that the State Department of Natural Resources has funding cuts and isn't able to get to the scene that quickly on these farms. And then you've got this shuttered factory, Tomahawk Hollow Pesticides Plant. I also noticed that the bake sale for struggling farmers. So how does horror as a genre grapple with some real-world issues?
Horror, you know, if I put on my academic cap, you know, throughout the ages, going back to, you know, I'm wearing a Frankenstein T-shirt, going back to those early Universal movies to the big bug, you know, nuclear horror movies of the 50s and 60s that were also an inspiration for this. You know, they've always reflected people's anxieties, and they've always reflected, you know, the real world concerns that people were grappling with. And so there's some of that in there. I think I would be, other than trying to, you know, create the metaphor for the newspaper, I would say I'd be lying if I said it was conscious. But I think when you're trying to create something that's going to affect people and stir emotions, you know, you have to, in some instances, tap into the things that actually do other than insects and creatures and monsters. And, you know, you start with the anxiety and then you can kind of blow it up into full-blown horror.
You've got a lot of blood and gore, and there are hundreds of people and townsfolk. What was it like to create so much bloodshed in a small town?
Well, the good news is that a lot of them are tourists, so they weren't their neighbors and friends, you know.
What was it, from Illinois or something? Yeah. I don't know.
There was Illinois. There was the Twin Cities.
You're right, right. Yeah.
But it's, you know, honestly, the gore and the, you know, which a lot of it is pretty cartoonish. You know, I wanted to make it big and broad and fun. But it was one of the things I struggled with, because I never, when you write a screenplay, you don't really write the gore very much. It's very matter of fact and straightforward. And so I wasn't sure that I would be particularly good at it. I think it's fun. I think, you know, I describe the book as kind of PG-13, and there isn't much harsh language, but there is a lot of blood. But I think it's I think it's more cartoonish, absurdist blood and gore, or at least I hope so.
What would it take to bring this to the big screen at Halloween?
At Halloween. Well, if anyone's out there, it will take a pretty good budget. I mean, actually, my earliest reviews of Tick Town have commented on the fact that it's written very cinematically. And I think that's just the nature of of how I am used to writing. You know, I think in terms of pictures and I think in terms of action and that sort of thing. And so I think it's completely ready for big screen adaptation. But I think it would take a decent budget, though you can probably do it, and probably a producer like the giant spider invasions, Bill Rabane here in Wisconsin, who might, you know, maybe he'll see it and say, oh, this is something maybe for a good follow up.
Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great talking to you.
That was filmmaker and writer Chris Miklos. He talked to Kate Archer Kent about his new horror novel. It's called Tick Town, which sees a fictional northern Wisconsin town invaded by a band of giant mutant ticks. The next stop on Chris's book tour is tomorrow at the bookstore in Appleton from 11 to 1.